Hey, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I thank you for joining us today, and I thank you for honoring the Lord's Word, your Lord's Word, and for all that you do for the Lord and for our Lord Jesus Christ. We have everything in the world to look forward to, not in the world, but everything in our future to look forward to. According to the scriptures, a Christian has hope, and we have the Lord. We have the Lord God in our life and have fellowship with a real living God. And aren't we thankful for that? Listen, to begin with, I want to, I told you at the beginning of this that I wasn't never going to say anything false, and some of you might have already caught me, but last recording, I had mentioned I was talking about the Lord being on the cross and talking about, I don't know if I said he was on the cross or not, but anyway, he wasn't on the cross whenever, but I was saying something about six legions of angels. You remember that? Well, I was wrong. And sometimes my brain's going to hiccup, and it ain't because I don't know what the scripture says or have read or studied or care. It's because my brain's getting old. But I correct myself. It was not six legions of angels. It was 12 legions of angels. It was even more than 12 legions of angels is exactly what the Lord said. And he also... He was in the Garden of the Mount of Olives. He was in the garden whenever he said it, when Judas come to get him to betray him, and that's when they started taking him, and that's when he said it. Talking about calling 12 legions of angels when Peter pulled his sword out and was going to chop Marcus's ear off, and the Lord told him, put that sword up, and he said, don't you know I can call more than 12 legions of angels if I wanted to right now? And that's what I was talking about the angels standing on the edge of glory up there and just waiting for the command for the Lord to say, come get me. And, boy, that place would have been tore all to pieces. Imagine, but you remember what one angel did by himself, went down and killed 185,000 men in one night. And, that's 185,000 people in one night, one angel. Now you can imagine what 12 legions, more than 12 legions would do. So that gives us a little bit of evidence. But anyway, of how many angels are in heaven, or at least the Lord said more than, could have been twice, could have been three, could have been 100 times that, but the Lord said more than 12 legions of angels. So anyway, I correct myself, and I stand corrected, and we'll move on. For you that caught me, God bless you. And for all y'all that didn't catch that, you should have. And don't you let me tell you something false. And as a matter of fact, in the future, in some of these lessons, I might do that on purpose, just to see if you'll catch me, see if you're listening to me. Okay? But anyway, I didn't give you the scriptures for last recording's lessons. And let me go ahead and give them to you now. The last thing we talked about was how do I deal with the devil. Now, we're going to try to finish up this study on the ABCs of Christian growth with the letter E for our enemy. We're going to try to finish that today if I don't get off on some kind of rabbit trail somewhere. But here we go. How do I deal with the devil? Here are the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. John chapter 16, verse 11. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. James chapter 4, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, 7, and 10. And Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. And those are the ones that we used and read in the Lord's Word last week concerning how do I deal with the devil. Now, that's what we talked about last week. We talked about that he's a defeated foe. We talked about that you're on the winning side. We talked about the whole armor of God, putting on that spiritual clothing and your spiritual armor. And we talked about don't give the devil an inch, and also to be always on the alert, and to never retreat, but also but to always resist the enemy. And the Lord said that the weapon that we use, the Lord Jesus Christ used, was the Word of God, and that's what we use. And it is authoritative, and he does take heed to God's word, but he doesn't play games with deceivers or people that are trying to play games with him, excuse me. But the enemy can outwit us. He can outthink us. He can play better mind games with you. Some of you think you play pretty good mind games, but he'll have you have your marbles all scrambled if you play around with him. And we shouldn't do that. We should be very serious and very direct and very straightforward with the Word of God, and just give the Word of God to him just as straight as it comes out of that Bible, and he will flee from that. Notice it said flee. Okay, so today we're going to talk about a final warning as to the character and the works of Satan. This will be our final lesson on the ABCs of Christian growth, letter E, for the enemy and Satan. And we're going to talk about a final warning as to the character and the works of Satan. Now, don't be fooled into thinking that the devil's always that he always appears in the form. Now, we talked about him always appearing in the form of a red suit and horns and a tail and all that stuff, but also that he appears in the form of ugliness and hideousness and vileness and overt wickedness. He is the instigator of sin. And he does destroy lives, and he is the wrecker of homes, and he is called the great deceiver. He's called the liar, and he's called the wicked one. But most times he comes across as nice and harmless and sometimes even benevolent, that he means you no harm and his interest is in your interest, and I'm here to help you. A lot of times he comes across in that manner. Now, Satan's ambition is found in Isaiah chapter 14. And that verse of scripture, Isaiah 14:14 is what it is. It says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, there doesn't take a real educated person to define that statement. He said, I will be like the Most High. Now, this teaches us that Satan imitates God. And everything good that God is and has done, the devil imitates with a counterfeit, a lookalike. He has had a Bible ever since books were around. He has run a fake and a false Bible and a corrupt Bible parallel with the anointed Bible down through history. He has had another Jesus. He has had other gods. He has had the devil imitates, and you're going to see that, and we're going to pull out some scriptures here and look at them, but we're talking about the final warning as to his character and how he works. Now, he duplicates what the Lord does, and he manufactures lookalikes. just like they do in the world today, and how corrupt and deceitful. When you go out shopping and you go out to buy something, you want to get an original item, or maybe even where it says the OEM, original equipment manufacturer. When you go and see an OEM stamp on something, that means it came from the original manufacturer and it's an original product. But now, as soon as somebody comes out with an original product, there's about 5 million people in the world that'll take that product and duplicate it and put it out and make it look just exactly like the other product, but it's cheap and it's put together with different things and stuff like that. And then you get it home and you go to use it, or you go to and you know what I'm talking about. It's a lookalike. Well, it's the way Satan does. And he does it you'd be surprised with what he can do as far as having been all down through history, having been duplicated. The Lord and will duplicate, try to duplicate him in the future, even with the beast and the Antichrist. And as far as coming into the world like Jesus did in the flesh, he's going to indwell the Antichrist. So let's go ahead and look at some of these and see some of his character and how he works. Well, first of all, he has another Jesus. He has another Jesus. And we see 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. It says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Okay, so we see some very important things in duplicates and lookalikes right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, that our Lord tells us that is going to be duplicated and made into a lookalike that's not going to be real. Notice the scripture says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus..." Another Jesus. Well, also in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, the Bible says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Matthew chapter 24, verse 5 says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." So we see that the character of Satan is to imitate Jesus, is to say there's another Jesus in the world. And he's done that all down through history. He has tried to duplicate the Savior and duplicate his work down here. And there have been many to come and many to go. And the Lord said that was going to happen. All right. Well, the Bible also says that he duplicates another spirit in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 4. And I'm going to read this several times because of the amount of because the scripture that's telling us these things, and we're pulling the truth out of it. "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus," we read that, "whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit. So we see that Satan can duplicate another spirit also. In 1 John chapter 4, First John chapter 4, verse 1-3 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God." This is how you know. "Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." It's that simple. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. You see, a unclean spirit and a false spirit will not confess that. They'll not say Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Now, that's pretty simple. That's light on, light off, ain't it? And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So we see that there's another Jesus. We see that there's another spirit. And we see also that we can be deceived by these things. And there's another one. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:14 again, it says, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel. Another gospel. Notice that the enemy will make a lookalike that has to do with the gospel. Now, one big one that's in the world now that's been all down through history is salvation through baptism. Salvation through baptism, saying that being baptized is part of being born again. And the scriptures do not teach that. They do not teach that. Galatians chapter 1, verse 9 says, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. So you see, we're being warned. I mean, it's word for word and just as plain before your eyes as it can be. It's not jumbled up. It's not confusing. It's the scriptures telling us that the enemy is in the world already, and he's already and has been and will be preaching another Jesus, preaching another spirit, are presenting other spirits to deceive us. And he will also be presenting other gospels. Now, what is the gospel? What is the gospel that we go by? Very simple. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel that true Christianity goes by. And that's the gospel that your Bible teaches. Okay, but any other gospel, it says for us to beware of. All right, interesting, huh? And the Bible says it very plain. Did you know that before? I didn't. Not before I was taught it. But the Bible gives us permission to watch out for these things because this is what the enemy does. He makes lookalikes, counterfeits, imitations. Here's another one. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and verse 13 through 15, the Bible says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, in other words, don't be surprised, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. According to their works. So, what's he teaching us there? He's teaching us that Satan imitates, makes lookalikes, and counterfeit ministers, preachers. Yep. You say, well, how do you know? Well, what's he preaching? What Bible's he using? Is he telling the truth? Is he telling the truth? Is he preaching the right gospel? Is he preaching with the right spirit? Is he preaching the right Jesus? Other ministers, you heard it. It said it right there. We just read it. I'll give you the scriptures. You can read them again. But that's the character and the works of Satan. He's sneaky, ain't he? Deceitful. And he does these things to deceive and to blind the unsaved so that they can't see Jesus Christ and they can't see the light of the gospel. Now, there's another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, for we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. But as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. According to the scriptures right there, where we read in 2 Corinthians 2:17, the enemy corrupts the real Word of God. You cannot have a corruption unless you have a pure one, because you have to corrupt purity. So, in other words, the Lord said that He gave us His written word, and that is purified. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, your King James Bible has been around ever since the very beginning, and it came from manuscripts that were around and pure and can be traced back to purity. Okay, now, do you know of anything that has come off of that, that has turned out corrupt and has to be reproduced and reproduced and reproduced and reproduced and reproduced and re-counterfeited and re-look-alike and re-imitated? I do. But the Bible teaches us that there is another Word of God. There's another Word of God. For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. Notice how many do it. He said, for we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. There's many, 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 many people out there that are corrupting the Word of God. And what are the ones, he says, which corrupt the Word of God? But we are as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. They, in other words, they fear the true and pure Word of God, and they don't mess with it. And they take God's warnings about messing with it and changing it very seriously, you see. Okay, so we see, talking about the enemy and his character and his works, he counterfeits another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel, other ministers, and other words of God, so-called. Now, in addition to this, Satan has a counterfeit ministry, and it's similar to the gospel. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 36 through 43, listen to the, these scriptures, and I give them to you in a little bit, but Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, 24 through 30, listen to this. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. You see, the Lord's making a parable there right in the midst of all the seed, the good seed, the Bible is the Word is the good seed, and the right in the midst of God's Word and the pure Word of God, there's sown tares. And what tares are is plants that grow up that are lookalikes. They're imitations, they're counterfeits, and they grow up and they look like the other ones, but they're not the real thing. And they grow up and they steal the nutrition and they steal the things that the good plants need. Now, also, Matthew chapter 13, verse 36 through 43, listen to this. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Notice, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that sows the good seed. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Remember a couple lessons ago we went over the children of the wicked one and the children of the kingdom. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. In other words, the enemy made lookalikes, he made imitations, he made fakes that look like the good seed that are coming up, but they're not the good seed. They're sowed by the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it shall be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So we see there that the enemy also counterfeits ministry, all you got to do is open your eyes and walk in the Spirit, and you can see false ministry everywhere. All you got to do is read that Bible and study that Bible like you're doing right now, and God the Holy Ghost will reveal to you. When you read the truth and you read the purity, you'll see the false and you'll see the fake. The true gospel preaching results, I lost my place. Satan can counterfeit ministry. He counterfeits Jesus. He counterfeits the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. He counterfeits him. He counterfeits ministers, and he counterfeits the gospel. So Satan can work miracles too. Now in Acts chapter 8, we see Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 11, we see, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. He tricked them. He was telling everybody that he had powers in this city and everything. And you remember what happened. That he got his bluff called. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 13, now we're talking about Satan can work miracles too. And he does. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, in Revelation chapter 13, verse 13. So you see, this creature, Satan, he also has powers that men don't have. And he can deceive people by miracles also. And I know that there are some people in this world that say they've seen miracles, and maybe they have. But the Lord said that we walk by faith, not by sight. Okay, and that was the way the Jews, remember, they required a sign. And they were usually a miracle sign. And the Lord said, a wicked and perverse generation requires a sign and looks for signs anymore. And we don't do that. But there are some people that will swear they've seen miracles and seen things like that, and maybe they have. But you have to be very careful, because Satan is the one. Satan uses miracles to deceive people also, and he counterfeits it to look and to imitate God's business. All right? Now, Revelation 13 refers to the yet future period known as the Great Tribulation, when Satan's going to rule the world through the person known as the Antichrist. Now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9 it says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. I mean, this guy is going to really convince people, and it ain't far off. If you're looking at the signs of the times, Jesus said that we should look at and watch the, I mean, we shouldn't worship it, but he said that we can tell the difference in the sky and what color it is and what the weather's going to be. He said, you can't tell what's coming. And we can. You can look at things. I mean, 40 and 50 years ago, you look back and remember what the atmosphere and what the, just the atmosphere of living in society and everything, versus today, 50 years later. And is it any different? You better believe it is. It's changing, isn't it? It's getting wicked. Now, just because someone claims to do apparent religious miracles does not immediately conclude he is from God. He has to line up with that book. He has to line up with the book. If he violates that book in any way, it's not from God. Because the Lord doesn't do anything against his word. Now, Satan also has a counterfeit church also. A counterfeit church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, it says, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Notice what the Lord calls the church there. He calls the church a chaste virgin. Now, God likens the church at Corinth, and it's like I said, as a chaste virgin, but over in Ephesians, listen to this. In chapter 5, verse 25 through 27, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's us. That's us. We are the chaste virgin. And the chaste virgin is the glorious church that is not going to have spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and it's going to be holy and without blemish. Now watch this. Over in each true New Testament church, original New Testament church, the ones that are pure and the ones that are following Christ and the right gospel and the right Jesus and the right Word of God, are the chaste virgin, the bride of Christ. But in Revelation chapter 17, the whole chapter refers to it almost, but I'm just going to read five verses. It says in chapter 17, 1 through 5, it says, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto him, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore. Now, wait a minute. It's not chaste virgin anymore. It's great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth hath committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth hath been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. You know what color scarlet is. Full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. Do you know of any religion today that's arrayed in purple and scarlet color? I do. And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. You know any religion that has a lot of gold in it? Having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Do you know of any religions that use golden cups? And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abominations and abominations of the earth. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, that one's already here, and it's been running down through history. And instead of being called the chaste virgin, the Bible says she is called the great whore, the mother of harlots. Okay? All right, so we read it out of the Bible. The Bible doesn't make any confusing statements. I mean, it tells us straight. If you're sincere and you're looking to study the Word of God and you want to know what the Word of God says, God the Holy Ghost will give you understanding concerning that. But if you're trying to manipulate the Lord and trying to manipulate the Scriptures, I feel sorry for you because you're going to be made a fool out of, because the Word of God doesn't stand for fools. It makes fools out of people when they try to change it and try to seduce it and try to... God's Word is alive and it lives, folks. A study of this chapter that we read in Revelation chapter 17, it shows the church to be made up of a massive apostate Christendom, full of man-made systems and unsaved people and great wealth. Now, I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to let God the Holy Ghost answer those things for you. I'm not ashamed to tell you, and I will tell you, but I'm not going to tell you now. We'll just let God the Holy Ghost. I mean, He bears witness with all of us of the truth, right? And the Word of God just tells us the truth. That is pretty simple, isn't it? Okay. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, the Bible says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." It is because there's no light in them. Remember what we started and what we were saying about Satan, and we'll come to a close. What we were saying, how do you tell the difference? How do you tell the difference in the true church and the false church and the true Jesus and the false Jesus and all of this? Well, it's very simple. Isaiah 8:20, what I just read. "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Okay? Now, 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." We was talking about the enemy, and that's what this study's been about, Satan. And it's an ABC study. It's not, it could be lots more said about it, but I learn every time I go over this study, and I hope that you have learned some things. Now, good chapters to read. I would memorize that 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, if you like. And it would be good to put that to memory. But a good reading assignment, if you will, and it'd take you 5 minutes to read this at the most, Genesis chapter 3. And that'll show you a lot of the character of this enemy that we're talking about. And you'll see what I'm talking about. But Genesis chapter 3. So we've talked about the enemy. And just to recap a little bit, we've talked about, does Satan exist? Yes, he does. The origin of Satan, where he come from, where the sin of Satan. We talked about what went wrong, what he allowed to go wrong, what he planned, and what he's still planning. We talked about, where is Satan now? We've talked about Satan's workings among the unsaved. We've talked about Satan's workings among real Christians. We've talked about how to deal with him, and what we should do and what we can do to deal with him. And we've talked about the final warning as to his character and his works. And he didn't have much character, does he? Listen to this. It's a recipe for devil's food. "Take one fine boy of tender years, remove the ties of love, mix with parental neglect and bad company in equal parts, sift a few foul stories, add a dash of deviltry and a measure of mischief, allow to soak in, then beat into a fury. Add a pinch of hate, then crush with brute force, putting in a pound of parental cussing. Shake well, then turn into the street to harden. Garnish with ungodliness. Serve with 6 months in the workhouse." Just about truth, ain't it? Just about truth. And especially in this 2018 era that we're in right now. Folks, you better look around you. Christian, you better look around you. You better look around you and you better see what's going on. You better tell the truth in your heart about what's going on, and get both feet over on God's side. Okay? All right, the enemy. Now, next is the letter F, and we have two studies, actually, in the letter F. One of them is about the family and what the Bible says about the family, and that's what we're going to talk about. Now, you don't listen to part of it. If you're going to listen to any of it, listen to all of it. We're going to see what the Bible says about the family, and then we're going to see what the Bible says about forgiveness. Forgiveness. So the letter F coming up. So I thank you so much for listening into this study, and I pray that you would follow up. Let me give you the scriptures for today's study, and here they are. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Matthew chapter 24, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. Galatians chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 through 30. And then Matthew chapter 13, verse 36 through 43. Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 11. Revelation chapter 13, 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. Revelation chapter 17, verse 1 through 5. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. And finally, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. All right. Well, brothers and sisters, I thank you so much, and I pray that you have been blessed, and I have. I get as much peace as God's Word will bring you just by studying it, just by studying it. And I pray that that is indeed what you're getting, is peace, and that we'll learn together. And thank you again for honoring the Lord. I love to watch people honor the Lord, and I'll talk to you the next recording, and we'll talk about the letter F. Bye-bye.